When the Lord just began to open my eyes, I used to go from seasons of encounters in the Word. So maybe I'm reading a passage and then something just opens to me, you know, and then I'm meditating and all that, and then God is showing me and He's leading me in the Scripture, right? And then I feel such a presence of the Spirit. You know, there's the Holy Ghost that comes and makes you, you know, you sing and pray and all that. That's one measure of the Spirit. When the wine overflows, then you receive oil. The oil of the Spirit comes. And it helps in, you know, when you're worshiping God and all that. But the wine of the Spirit is a teacher. That's another dimension of the Spirit that a lot of Christians haven't been introduced to. They are used to being in a meeting, the Holy Ghost will fall, and then, you know, the presence of God is tangible, maybe healings happen, and those things are powerful, they are essential to the Christian walk. And those things are common, usually, to help younger believers, and even for those who are not believers yet, to see the power of God in manifestation. And those things are essential and important, but the real measure of the Spirit and the real operation of the Holy Ghost is the Spirit within. But a lot of Christians have not been taught to identify the presence and the working of the Holy Ghost in the heart and how they ought to submit themselves to Him, right? In order to carry out that work, that mandate of redemption and salvation. Now, I began to have those kind of experiences. From time to time, I will have something like that. And it's so precious because the Word will open. I'll be able to come into revelation of Jesus. But then I discovered that it will dry out. It will dry out. Now I'll take the Bible and I'm reading. Although I'm reading it, I'm understanding. But I'm not having those kind of encounters where there's a movement in my heart and I'm seeing things and it's opening up. So different levels, I will go like this. I'll be there. And then I will come down again and just, you know. So I was asking, what's going on? And then the Lord now began to show to me that the secret is to pay attention more to the Holy Ghost on the inside, the workings of the Spirit on the inside, and it's something that you cultivate. Because the Holy Ghost is the custodian of Christ. He's a custodian means they gave it to Him to keep it and to give Him the authority to bring it to men. That's why Jesus said, "It is expedient for you that I go. Because if I don't go, He will not come." Right? So there are things that Jesus could not do there that only that Spirit coming can bring about. Yeah, and He said that when He comes, He will not speak of Himself because He will take of what is mine. Mm-hmm. That when He means what is mine, it means that because I am the gift of God to you. Jesus was the gift of God to man. That's what God wants man to receive, Him. But they couldn't receive Him physically because the content of Christ Himself, when He was trying to convey that message to them, that if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, right, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. When He said that, it offended the Jews. What does this man mean? Does he want to give us his flesh to eat? There's no understanding. But Jesus had to speak in parables all his days. He couldn't really open the content of the New Testament because those men were not born again, even though they were his disciples. So the real thing that was in Him, that work that God did in Him, that exposed the nature and the content of God to humanity, that's what happened in Jesus, where there was a breach where man can now receive God, all of God. That work happened in Jesus. But what we need to receive is that the administration of how that thing came to be, how that a man, through communion, through fellowship with the Spirit, and in the Scriptures, was able to come into the knowledge of the fullness of God. So he couldn't communicate that wisdom to his disciples. He just had to, just spoke in parables to them to give them an idea or an inclination. But in those parables, if you now go and use the eyes of the Spirit to read those parables of Jesus, it's not just story. Inside those things are the secrets of his life as well. So what I began to now happen, and that's what the Holy Spirit taught me, was, and it's important, right? This one is practice now. How to get into a place where you are cemented into receiving the transactions that will deliver this thing to you. What God told me was, start praying in the Spirit. Okay? But start praying in the Spirit every time. And what I knew was that ability to enter that fellowship was a function of a movement in my heart. That there were times it was there. There were times, many times it wasn't there. And when it wasn't there, there was nothing I could do. I was just reading dry scripture. But then the Lord now began to teach me that starting is something that you cultivate. And the way you cultivate is by drinking. That's how you get intoxicated. You can just drink small wine. You have wine, but it's small. It's not enough to take you over. There are things that someone can only do when they are drunk. But in order to get to a place where you are drunk, you must have drunk enough to come into fullness of the wine of the Spirit. Many Christians have measures of the Spirit, right? But they are not walking in fullness of the Spirit. Now the Bible says, be ye filled. Do not be drunk with wine. That's physical wine. See, but be filled. It means that wine is a type, that being filled of the Spirit is a type of wine. So the same effect you have of drinking wine naturally, that same effect happens in your soul when you drink the spiritual wine, which is the Holy Ghost. And the word be filled with the Spirit is actually the Greek word used there is in a continuing tense. It's almost like say be being filled, be continuously filled with the Spirit. That means always maintain your fullness. Oh, when you see like it's going down, you have to continue, you have to drink more. You have to drink more. You have to drink more. Now the secret that God gave me was the secret of drinking. Drinking. And he taught me, he said, every time, just keep praying in the Spirit. Keep praying in the Spirit. And every time I was in the university in Manitoba then, every time when I wake up, as long as I remember, whether I'm in the bus, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm just praying in the Spirit. I'm praying. You don't have to be shouting loud and everything, disturbing everybody. No. You can be praying in the Spirit, nobody is hearing you. But it's going on. You are just praying. You're just praying. You're praying. When you pray in the Spirit, the Bible says, he that pray in the Spirit speaketh mysteries unto God. It says, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you are drinking of the Spirit of God. You're drinking Him. You're drinking Him. You're drinking Him. And that drinking of Him does something inside your soul. It lifts you. It elevates you. The things that pull you down. Maybe you used to get angry easily, or you used to. Those are what makes the Holy Ghost not be able to come and dwell with you consistently, because that Him being with you consistently is necessary to bring you into this life, because it's a life of discipleship. You are not a disciple if you come once a month and then you travel and you are globetrotting. I said, no, I'm your disciple. No, then you come and visit once a month and stay for 2 hours. Sometimes that's how we are with the Spirit. You will be coming and you'll be getting few things, but you can't be a disciple, because what the Holy Ghost wants to communicate to Christians is that it says that who have translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That is a new kingdom. It's a new place. It's a new place of operation. And we don't know anything about it. That place is alien to human life. All that man thinks is how to feed himself and reproduce himself. A human being has no higher thought than that. That's the peak of any man's thinking. Look, for no matter how intelligent you are as a man, you can't think of anything more than that. And that's the way we've been raised. So for you to now begin to, since if you then be reasoned with Christ, now begin to set your mind on things above. To be able to do that is not ordinary. There has to be a working on the inside of you, a reculturing of the soul. And it takes discipline to do it. Means that you cannot learn anything really without discipline. You can just know a little bit about something, like maybe how to fix a car. I can say, well, if a car doesn't start, I know I can go and check the battery or try and jump start it. That's as much as I know. Because I have not been discipled. Go and get a mechanic who has been staying in a mechanic workshop every day for years. Right? He has insight. He knows what to do around the car to get the car working if the car is bad. Right? That's the same thing with the realm of the spirit. This Bible is a closed book. It's sealed. It's there. It's written. He said these things were hidden from the foundation of the world. Paul said that I, who am lower than the least of all the saints, was this grace given that I might minister unto the Gentiles what the unsearchable riches of Christ. Those riches are unsearchable. You can't find them. That's why in order for you, and those are the riches that will make you into what God wants you to become. But you can't find them. So the reason, there has to be a form of discipleship that is greater than the discipleship that Jesus gave his disciples when he was on the earth. They were his disciples physically, but at the end he still said to them, I still can't give you this thing. Means you are my disciples in the flesh, but there's a higher discipleship, which is the discipleship of the Spirit, that needs to happen. And that discipleship is an invisible work that happens in the heart. And it's very, very slippery. It can elude you. You can have two believers, they live in the same house, they go to the same school, they go to the same church. It seems as though they are doing everything together. But inside one, something can be going on. That's not happening in the other person. It's an internal work, that communion of the Spirit. That's what the Lord that began to teach me. He said, just be praying. Forget about it. Forget about if whether you feel like praying. You know, whether you feel anointed to pray. No, just be praying. Just be praying. Be praying is when I just begin to pray. Sometimes under my voice, sometimes I'm in class. That's when I discovered that you can be praying in the spirit and be listening to a lecture. The lecture is entering your head, but you are communicating with God, in your heart, because it's a spirit thing. Yeah. Now, I began to do that, and after a while, you discover that place that I used to come into sometimes, and then I experienced dryness. Almost now became my natural habitation. And I got to a point where those things I used to see in the Bible, those joining of scripture with scripture, the interpretation of the New Testament, that used to happen sometimes. I now got to a place where I didn't have to go look for it. It began to come to me. I can be sitting and chatting with people, and then I'm beginning to see the tabernacle in the spirit and begin to see how that translates into the work in the soul. I'm just giving an example. I begin to see the scripture joining scripture. And I'm not looking for it. The Holy Ghost is bringing it. Why? Because the heart has been raised. What the Holy Spirit does is He raises the heart to a higher level of consciousness. There's a level of consciousness that you have if you depend on your five senses alone. And that's the way we were raised. We're taught to live. We've been taught that the only thing my heart should process as is either what I have seen, or I have heard, either I have smelt, I've tasted, or my as I've seen physically. It means the only source of information our soul has known how to get are information that come from within, without, sorry. But when you begin to learn the fellowship of the Spirit, you discover that there are other ways you can get, other kinds of information you can get. That's information from the Spirit of God. The job of the Holy Spirit is to bring communion to you. Is to bring fellowship to you. Means as you are living here, you're not supposed to just be here. You're supposed to be living above, like Jesus was. Jesus Christ said, "Whatsoever I see my Father do, that's what I do." Now, while he was saying that, he was on the earth, he was eating with his disciples. They will sleep, will wake up, walk around. He wasn't sneaking in the night and disappearing into heaven to go and see what his Father is doing. As he was interacting here, he was seeing his Father. He was seeing him. And that is what the soul, the reason why the Spirit became born again, it's so that the soul can become spiritual. So the soul should not just be a master at living on the earth. You know what to do, you know how to, that's good. You can have wisdom to live the earthly life. But there's a new wisdom that the soul needs to learn, how to navigate the Spirit. How to relate with the thoughts of God. How to communicate with the thoughts of God. Is that Spirit that makes you see Jesus in the Scripture? You're not just seeing the list of what should I do, what should I not do. You're not just reading maybe the stories and all, but you are seeing the life of a person. There's a communication of commandment of that life by the Spirit in the Bible. Now, that is where God wants us to live, begin to live in. And He wants to raise our consciousness. It takes discipline and practice to do it. Where you are constantly, now this is practice actively, right? Actively fighting that desire to just relax and only just go about in the natural. But consciously tell yourself, no, I'm not from this place. There's also be a higher conversation constantly going on the inside of me. Even though I'm living in this world, even though I go to work, I come back, I'm driving and all that, I'm here, but I'm really not from this place. There ought to be a higher conversation. I ought to be seeing Him in the Spirit. Because the same way Paul was seeing Jesus in the Spirit. He saw Him. And that seeing Jesus is not an appearance. You get? You know, what does it mean to see Jesus? Seeing Jesus is not that I see a form of a man that appeared to me and is talking to me. No, that's not Jesus. Jesus is a body of he's a body of, John called him the Logos. Jesus is the thought of God. He's the mind of God. He says, please the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. That fullness is the fullness of the Father. That in is the fellowship that John said, I will bring you into. There's no time to open the Bible today because time has gone. But I'll just He's saying that in John chapter 1, you know what? He said, this thing by reaching unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. That he was speaking about this kind of communion, because John had not gone into heaven. He was on the earth when he wrote, but while he was on the earth, he was having that fellowship. So this thing have I written unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. Now fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Means John was having fellowship with the Father and the Son while he was on the earth. Not only was he having that fellowship, he said, by what I'm writing, I can bring you into that fellowship. And that is the work of the Spirit. To pull you. God, the Holy Ghost wants to pull you out of this world. So where are you? You shouldn't live here. Your heart shouldn't be here. Your conversation, the conversation of your soul, the meditation of your heart should be, your heart should be processing spirit. Your mind should be able to, you know, your mind can think spiritual things. Same way your mind can learn mathematics and sociology and philosophy and all that. The mind can process spiritual thought. Now, what I now began to discover is, when I began to now sow myself to the Spirit, there are some parts of the Bible that used to seem uninteresting before. And the reason why they were uninteresting is because they didn't really have bearing on anything here. What was the need to go there and start learning? They're learning in heaven, there's a sea of glass, and then there's this and this and that. And that was my business with all that. You know, like the structure of the temple in heaven. Okay, they are, you know, they have 12 foundations and then the gates of the city and all that stuff. And I go to a book of Leviticus and Exodus. All those instructions that God was giving to Moses about the priesthood. This is what a priest should do and what he shouldn't do. This is the specification of the temple. This is how the dimensions, all those things. This is how you offer, if someone commits a sin, and then they bring this animal, and you take this part of the animal and burn this part in the altar outward, but take only the blood inside and sprinkle the all those nitty-gritty. What? Normally, why do you need to know those things? You won't see it. But when you are, you no longer, your heart has been come to a point where what is real to you is not things. What's real to you are those invisible things that has to do with you have a craving, an appetite for the mind of God. Why did God see it's important to tell Moses all these things? What does God, why are those things important? When the Holy Ghost, you now begin to see that, those things actually are just expression of divine wisdom that even me, I need to have, because the Bible says all scripture is given. And all scripture wasn't just given and then some are just for fun. So all scripture is given by the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit, and is profitable. All of it. Even the genealogies, and this begat this, and this begat that, and this begat that, and that begat this. All those things are hidden. But those things are even hard to read when you don't have the wine. Because it's just this big guy. What is that? You know? It's not sweet. It's not sweet. But the wine is the sweetness of it. When you begin to move into those things through the wine of the Spirit, you now begin to see that there's life in all those seemingly dead areas of the Scripture. Because the whole Bible is the New Testament. The Old Testament is type and shadow of the New. But when your heart has been opened up, you know, it's about everything right from Moses, from Genesis, it's all New Testament. Because what they are speaking of God, they are expressions of His wisdom that we need to come to. And they were written for our salvation. Now, if that wine, if we have not come to fullness of the Spirit, okay? If we haven't come to fullness of the Spirit, there are some ministrations we cannot take because they will be too boring to us. And it's those ministrations that seem worthless that don't seem important, that seem just what's the reason for all this. Sometimes that's where God hides himself. And it's like, why is it that, like that? So that you can't get there by wisdom. You have to get there by drunkenness or by foolishness. Since we are the scribes, we are the philosophers, has God not made the foolish the wisdom of this world? God in wisdom made that not through wisdom should men know him, but through the foolishness of preaching. What is foolishness of preaching? The foolishness of the message that has been preached. God hides himself in foolishness. So it takes a drunken man to become foolish. You can see someone that's just gentle, you know, intellectual, smart, calculated, doesn't say any word wrongly, thinks through every thought, and then, you know? But just give that person enough wine, right? For the person to become drunk, what would the person do? The person will lose all those calculatedness, right? Mm-hmm. Because wine has a way of opening the soul to express the depths. Someone who is so uptight, when they drink, after a while they begin to flow. That is the way in the spirit as well. If we are too intellectual and cerebral, we can't come into the knowledge of God. We have to be drunk in the wine of the spirit. Then that sweetness of the wine is what will take us into new places. And I don't know why we're going like this morning. But it's essential. It is the Spirit of God that replicates the life of Jesus in a believer. He's the one that makes the word, that converts it from thought to life. Because Jesus did not just commune with his Father in thought, just meditation. That what he knew of his Father translated into his life. The life he was living was, he was living a life that came by revelation of who his Father was. And that's how we ought to be. It takes power to be separated from this world. It takes power. We can't do it by our own will. The Bible says it is him that worketh in us, but to will and do according, right, to his good pleasure. He said, not by power nor by mind, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by power nor by might. Means you cannot build, that was Zechariah, when they were about to build a temple. You cannot build by power and might. You can only build by the Spirit of God. And what God wants to do, the Bible says, he that buildeth all things is God. God is the one who builds in us that house where he will live and where he will stay forever. God is building an eternal habitation in our heart. What God is really building is a place where he will live forever. God wants to raise us to a point where they can say the tabernacle of God is with man. Because we've become a temple that can receive him, and we've become a house for him. Last time we were talking about the world, right? And overcoming the world and all that. We cannot overcome the world unless the work of the Holy Ghost has been fulfilled in our heart. The Bible says that he that is from above is above all. Right? In John chapter 3, he says that the wind bloweth where it listeth. We hear the sound thereof, but no man knows where it's coming from or where it's going. So is he that is born of the Spirit. To be able to escape what the Bible calls the corruption that's in the world through lust, we ought to have come into the knowledge and experience of the life that can overcome the wisdom of the world. Wisdom in this world is an entrapment. There's a way Satan interwove that wisdom here. And it's not just by anger. Okay, I'm angry because Satan, I hate you. I discovered what you've done. So I don't want to be a part of it anymore. So I'm not going to live your life. No. You can't just by anger do it. You have to be taught. There has to be a discipleship on. There has to be higher wisdom. That's the wisdom of Christ on how to live in this world and overcome it. Has to be taught. That's the way of the Spirit. That's what the Bible calls the paths of righteousness. It says, he leadeth me on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rock and thy staff, they comfort me. Then thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who are those enemies? Those enemies are the enemies of our salvation. Those are the ones that Jesus is officiating against. When the Bible says that he sat down at the right hand, it says, to which of the angels did he say at any time, sit down at my right hand until I have made your enemies your footstool? That was Jesus. He said, that's what he told Jesus. Sit down until I've made the enemy. The enemies of Jesus are the enemies of the saints. Those who are preventing the saints from arising to that place that Jesus came to. But God told him, sit down and wait, I'll make them your footstool. Right? And how are we raised? It's by feeding from the table of the Lord. And you can't arrive at that table without the leading of the Spirit. So that prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. That's fullness of the Spirit. Fullness. That fullness, the highest expression of fullness is joy. When you drink of the Spirit and drink of the Spirit, you have measures of joy in your soul. You become overflowing with joy. And the Bible says, with joy shall you draw waters out of the well of salvation. That well of salvation is, you know what salvation is? That is that's coming to the end of faith. Receiving the end of faith, the salvation of our souls. Mm. So how you receive that, you draw it out with joy. You need measures and volumes of joy in the Spirit to come into some measure of communion with the Father and the Son. Because that the communion in the realm of joy, the Bible calls it gladness. Their realm is a realm of gladness. That realm of fellowship with the Father and the Son is a place of gladness. And the soul needs to drink of the Spirit until it enters into that place. When you enter that place of joy, joy leads you. When you read the scripture with that joy, you are drawing waters out of the well of salvation. You can't read scripture with joy and be reading letter. Joy is Spirit. That's the oil of gladness. That's what Jesus Christ when God said to Jesus that the scepter of your kingdom, right, is a scepter of righteousness. For you loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your fellows. An oil of gladness, oil of gladness. That means the oil that makes one glad. Gladness. Gladness is the highest expression of the Spirit. When you are in gladness, you are in communion. When you are in gladness, you are in the presence of God. You've entered a place of fellowship in the Spirit. That is the place of gladness is a place of communion with the Father. It's at that table of the Lord's Supper is a table of gladness. When you take a man that's sad and give him wine, keep giving him wine and giving him wine. After a while, he just start laughing. Why are you laughing at? He's just drunk. This life is a life of drunkenness. You cannot overcome the world without being drunk. How do you overcome persecution? How do you overcome the weight and the things of this world? When Satan strikes, how do you come into the reality of that place where you say the man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possession? If the soul does not have measures of gladness and joy, you will come under circumstances. And then maybe you will become afraid and start doing things that you shouldn't do. You won't come into a place of rest. The New Testament is a place of rest. That's Eden that you're talking about that time. Eden, that place is a place of absolute rest. And you can't be at rest without joy and without strength. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm just trying to use words to paint this thing from different angles of the scripture. So we can see this is the way we live. The culture of the Spirit. We are spiritual people. Ask essay. That's the life. You know, we don't do just prayer time. No, you're in constant fellowship. You're in constant because the teaching of this is not when you carry Bible that, oh, God is saying no. No, there are times when you meditate, and when you meditate, after a while, the scripture enters your memory, right? So I don't spend time in memorizing scripture. The scripture of my memory is because I just the ones I've read over and over, and I've read it so much, right? I meditate, and when you read it, you don't just read it, you meditate. Upon it, you just read and meditate and meditate and meditate and meditate and meditate. Sometimes after you've left the Bible, so the Holy Ghost will now come. Start telling you this and this and this. And you had he quickened who were once dead in trespasses and sins, which he once walked. Oh, trespasses and sins. Sins. And then you now begin to see other scriptures. That's the fellowship of the Spirit. When you are living like that, this Bible opens to you. It's no longer it's a living, breathing thing. And that's the place that God, when someone who has come into that life, Satan can't handle you. What will Satan bring? Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. He can't trigger lust because there's no lust in me. He can't entice me. He can't seduce me because I'm content in myself. Why? Because I have the joy of the Lord. And that joy is my strength. That joy is greater than anything else. That joy is a culture of the kingdom. Paul says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It means it's not anything. It's not about satisfying your soul with things around you. That's eating and drinking, satisfying the natural man. No. Say, but it's what? Righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. That realm of joy in the Holy Ghost. That's a realm of ecstasy in the Spirit. The soul, pleasure, You know, human beings invent pleasure, right? All the most pleasurable things they want to do, let's go out, let's go to a party, or let's go to and watch a movie or whatever. All those things that are just pleasure, excitement. That's all man is looking for. But that thing, God made pleasure. That desire for pleasure in man, God made it. And God made the satisfaction for that thing. That thing is in him. The Bible says that in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, there is what? Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Fullness. When you come to fullness of joy, you look around this world will become nothing to you. Because there's nothing here. Put all the pleasures in this world together. All the pleasures that all the wealth can buy. It's not worth one tiny experience in this place I'm describing. When the soul can enter this realm of joy, the presence of God, fullness of joy, and it's what right hand what? Pleasures forevermore. God has pleasures for the soul. It's not just something spiritual out there, abstract. The soul can be satisfied by God, but it takes the communion of the Spirit and the drunkenness of the Spirit to usher us into that place. Father, we thank you for you, for your word. Sekila Mata. We ask for baptism of the Holy Ghost that will bring us into a new reality, into a place of fullness. Father, we ask for doses of the wine of the Spirit, measures of joy to flood our heart. Father, take us into green pastures in your word. We will become as tree planted by the rivers of waters. That we will never run dry or lack anything. We ask that come into our heart by your Spirit and open us up to the life of the New Testament. Open us up, Lord, to the way of communion, to the path of truth. Teach us the secret of abiding in you, dwelling in you, communion with you, day and night. Teach us the discipline of the Spirit. Constantly commune with the Spirit so we can be raised into a higher place. Thank you, our Father. We worship you. In Jesus' name.